Please repeat after me. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So we will read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila, Chapter 20, the Shikshastaka Prayers. This was the last chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami wrote, and it was the last chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that Srila Prabhupada completed translating on this date. But we'll read the first few verses and then go to the end. Chapter 20, the Shikshastaka Prayers. The following summary study of the 20th chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed his nights tasting the meaning of Shikshastaka in the company of Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai. Sometimes he recited verses from Jayadev Goswami's Gita Govinda, from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Sri Ramananda Rai's Jagannath Vallabhanataka, or from Sri Bilva Mangal Thakur's Krishna Karnamrita. In this way, he became absorbed in ecstatic emotions. For the 12 years, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived at Jagannath Puri. He relished the taste of reciting such transcendental verses. The Lord was present in the mortal world for 48 years altogether. After hinting about Lord Chaitanya's disappearance, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita gives a short description of the entire Antya Lila and then ends his book. Text 1. Premod bhavitahar sharsyod vega dainyatri misritam lapitam gora chandrasya bhagavad birnishevyate. Only the most fortunate will relish the mad words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which mix with jubilation, envy, agitation, submissiveness, and grief, all produced by ecstatic loving emotions. Text 2. Jaya Jaya Gaura Chandra Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Chandra. And all glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. text 63. E macha maha prabhur bhava vishtahana pralapa karila tat tat shloka padiya. Thus overwhelmed by ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke like a madman and recited suitable verses. The Lord had formerly composed these 8 verses to teach people in general. Now he personally tasted the meaning of the verses, which are called the Shikshastaka. If anyone recites or hears these 8 verses of instruction by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his ecstatic love and devotion for Krishna increase day by day. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is as deep and grave as millions of oceans, when the moon of his various emotions rises, he becomes restless. I'll repeat. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is as deep and grave as millions of oceans, when the moon of his various emotions rises, he becomes restless. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read the verses of Jayadev's Gita Govinda, of Srimad Bhagavatam, of Ramananda Rai's drama, Jagannath Vallabhanataka, and of Bilva Mangal Thakur's Krishna Karnamrita, he was overwhelmed by the various ecstatic emotions of those verses. Thus he tasted their purports. For 12 years, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained in that state day and night. With his 2 friends, he tasted the meaning of those verses, which consist of nothing but the transcendental bliss and mellows of Krishna consciousness. So the verses that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished in the association of his 2 confidential associates, Srila Saurabh Damodar Goswami and Sri Ramananda Rai, were expressions of ecstatic emotion composed by realized souls. They were not just words on a page, but they were actually filled with transcendental bliss and mellows. And because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on the platform of transcendental bliss and mellows, he could immediately experience the transcendental bliss and mellows contained in the verses, and they increased his own bliss and rasa to such an extent that he was overwhelmed. Mahaprabhu was able to taste the same bliss and mellows, but to an even greater degree, because he is actually Krishna himself. In the mood of Srimati Radharani, in separation from Krishna. For 12 years, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained in that state day and night. With his 2 friends, he tasted the meaning of those verses, which consist of nothing but the transcendental bliss and mellows of Krishna consciousness. Even Anantadev, who has thousands of faces, could not reach the end of describing the transcendental bliss of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. This is part of the mystery of devotional service in separation, that externally the devotee appears to be suffering in misery, but internally he is actually relishing transcendental ecstasy. Even Anantadev, who has thousands of faces, could not reach the end of describing the transcendental bliss of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. How then could an ordinary living being with very little intelligence describe such pastimes? This is Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's humility. He refers to himself as Jiva, an ordinary living being, Kshudra Buddhi, with very little intelligence. How then could an ordinary living being with very little intelligence describe such pastimes? Nevertheless, I'm trying to touch but a particle of them, just to rectify my own self. There is no limit to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities and his words of madness. Therefore, describing them all would greatly increase the size of this book, because there is no limit to them. Whatever pastimes Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has first described, I have merely summarized. Vrindavan Das Thakur is the author of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. I have only very briefly described the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not described by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Nevertheless, because those transcendental pastimes are so numerous, the size of the book has increased. Although he just summarized them, he didn't describe them in detail, but there were so many of them that just by summarizing them, the book became bigger. It is impossible to describe all the pastimes elaborately. I shall therefore end this description and offer them my respectful obeisances. Means offer obeisances to the pastimes that he described. He's also not seeing them as his creation, but as independently, transcendentally beautiful and blissful. What I have described gives merely an indication, but by following this indication, one may obtain a taste of all the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I cannot understand the very deep meaningful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My intelligence cannot penetrate them, and therefore I could not properly describe them. After offering my respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of all my Vaishnav readers, I shall therefore end this description of the characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although in his humility, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is expressing his limitations and inability to properly understand the pastimes and consequently to properly describe them. But Srila Narottam Das Thakur has written about Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami that he is the best of all Rasika Vaishnavas. Rasika means who know the mellow taste of devotional service. The sky is unlimited, but many birds fly higher and higher according to their own abilities. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like the unlimited sky. How then can an ordinary living being describe them all? I have tried to describe them as far as my intelligence allows, as if trying to touch a drop in the midst of a great ocean. Nityananda Kripa Patra Vrindavana Dasa Chaitanya Lilara Tenhu Hayena Adivyasa. Vrindavan Das Thakur is Lord Nityananda's favorite devotee, and therefore he is the original Vyasadeva in describing the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that all writers after Vrindavan Das Thakur who are pure devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who have tried to describe the Lord's activities are to be considered like Vyasa. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur is the original Vyasadeva in describing Chaitanya Lila. And all others who follow in his footsteps by describing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are also to be called Vyasadeva. The bona fide spiritual master is called Vyas because he is a representative of Vyas. Worshipping the birthday of such a spiritual master is called Vyasa Puja. So this phrase, Adi Vyasa, the original Vyasadeva, suggests that there are other Vyasadevas. Just like, although we don't like to even mention them, especially while discussing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but still there's Adi Shankaracharya, because that Adi is connected to Shankaracharya because there are other Shankaracharyas after Adi Shankaracharya. So in the same way, the fact that Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami refers to Vrindavan Das Thakur as Adi Vyas means, as stated by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that anyone, any pure devotee, who describes the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also a Vyas in describing the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the material world, people always try to surpass their predecessors. Oh, I can do better than him. But here, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, being a pure devotee, imbued with the utmost humility is appreciating his own disqualifications and Vrindavan Das Thakur's great qualifications. Text 83. Although Vrindavan Das Thakur has within his jurisdiction the full store of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he has left aside most of them and described but a small portion. The same idea. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said that he's like that the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like the unlimited sky, and he's just a small bird in the sky, and how much of the sky can he reach or describe? But here, in his humility and genuine Vaishnava appreciation of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, is saying that he actually had the full store of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes within his grip, but he chose to describe only a few of them. Text 84. What I have described was left aside by Vrindavan Das Thakur. But although he could not describe these pastimes, he gave us a synopsis. In his book named Chaitanya Mangala, Chaitanya Bhagavat, he has described these pastimes in many places. I request my readers to hear that book, for that is the best evidence. I have described the pastimes very briefly, for it is impossible for me to describe them in full. In the future, however, Vedavyas will describe them elaborately. And in the synonyms, Srila Prabhupada defines Vedavyas as a representative of Vyasadeva. Text 87. Chaitanya Mangale Iha Likhi Ache Stane Stane Satya Kahe Na Age Vyasa Kariba Varnane. In Chaitanya Mangala, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has stated in many places the factual truth that in the future Vyasadeva will describe them elaborately. Purport. The statement Age Vyasa Kariba Varnane is similar to a text in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, first chapter, text 180, in which Vrindavan Das Thakur says, Shesha Kande Chaitanyera Ananta Vilasa Vistariya Varnite Achena Veda Vyasa. Quote, the unlimited pastimes of Sri Chaitanya will be described by Vyasadeva in the future. End quote. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that these statements indicate that in the future, other representatives of Vyasadeva will elaborately describe Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. The purport is that any pure devotee in the disciplic succession who describes the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is confirmed to be a representative of Vyasadeva. Text 88. The ocean of nectarian pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like the ocean of milk. According to his thirst, Vrindavan Das Thakur filled his pitcher and drank from that ocean. Whatever remnants of milk Vrindavan Das Thakur has given me are sufficient to fill my belly. Now my thirst is completely satiated. So the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like an ocean of milk. And Vrindavan Das Thakur was thirsty to taste that milk, to drink that nectar. And so he filled the pitcher according to his desire. And after drinking to his fill, he left some remnants. And those remnants were taken by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. And even those remnants of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur were sufficient for Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami to satisfy his thirst to taste and describe Chaitanya Lila. And so now he is also going to stop. Texts 90 and 91. I am a very insignificant living being, like a small red-beaked bird. Just as such a bird drinks the water of the sea to quench its thirst, so I have touched only a drop of the ocean of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. From this example, you may all understand how expansive are the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Well, the beak of a bird is very small. In fact, sometimes if someone is not eating much, someone else will say, like, you know, you're eating like a bird, just like pecking it. Little pieces. And just to give us an indication of how vast Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami compares himself to a bird with a red beak who takes one beak full of water from the vast ocean. What is one beakful compared to the whole ocean? It's nothing. So that's how great the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But this beakful is enough to, you know, nourish the souls who are eager to taste the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we should do that. We should read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And if we follow it, then we should also read Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, as Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami instructs. But first and foremost is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, in this next verse, text 92, he says, I infer that I have, this is in quotation marks, because he's referring to himself as the author of this book. But now he says that, quote, I have written, that statement, quote, I have written, is a false understanding. In other words, actually, I have not written. I infer that, quote, I have written, end quote, is a false understanding. For my body is like a wooden doll. I am old and troubled by invalidity. I am almost blind and deaf. My hands tremble, and my mind and intelligence are unsteady. I am infected by so many diseases that I can neither properly walk nor properly sit. Indeed, I'm always exhausted by five kinds of disease. I may die at any time of the day or night. So we can imagine what an effort it was for him to do this service. Text 95. I have previously given an account of my inabilities. Please hear the reason why I nevertheless still write. Well, this is a very good question. If he's so incapable, and in his words, he's very limited spiritually and even physically, he is greatly incapacitated. So then why did he write? Text 96 to 98. I am writing this book by the mercy of the lotus feet of Sri Govindadev, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, and other devotees, and the readers of this book, as well as Swarup Damodar Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, who is my spiritual master, and Sri Jiva Goswami. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada explained the mood of the Vaishnav. And he was reading the verse from the Bhagavad Gita that says that Arjuna's chariot was decorated by Kapidwaja. Who knows what flag Arjuna had on his chariot? Yes. So Srila Prabhupada explained the mood of Arjuna, that he was thinking that just as Hanuman fought for Lord Rama, now I am attempting to fight for Lord Krishna. So he is in the mood of prayer to Hanumanji that you are expert in fighting for your Lord, Ramachandra. Now I am being asked to fight for my Lord, Sri Krishna. Please help me. And Srila Prabhupada said that is the mood of the Vaishnav, that he always feels helpless and he's always depending on the superior authorities to give him help. And then he gave the example of Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, that at the end of every chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he wrote, Rupa Raghunatha Padayara Asa, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Dasa. He's praying every verse, every line, every word. He's praying for the mercy of Rupa Raghunath, that I am incapable of writing, so kindly help me. So this is the mood of the Vaishnava. He always feels himself helpless and dependent on help from the superior authorities. And Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is saying it openly here, that I did not write this book. I could not write this book. It was written only by the mercy of these personalities. And he mentions the deities and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. And then he says, I have also been specially favored by another Supreme Personality. Shri Madan Mohan deity of Vrindavan has given the order that is making me write. In other words, I'm not qualified, but still I'm writing because I've been given the order to write by Shri Madan Mohan Vigraha. Although this should not be disclosed, I disclose it because I am unable to remain silent. If I did not disclose this fact, I would be guilty of ingratitude to the Lord. Therefore, my dear readers, please do not consider me too proud and be angry at me. In other words, he's saying he should not state that Shri Madan Mohan has given him the order to write, because it could be taken that he's being boastful, that Krishna himself has given me the instruction to write. So he should not say it. But he is saying it because he's grateful to Madan Mohan, and to not give him the credit, not to give Madan Mohan the credit would be ingratitude on the part of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. So he's appealing to the readers not to consider him to be proud and boastful, and he's requesting him not to be angry at him for being proud or boastful. Text 101. Toma sabara charanaduli karinu vandana tate chaitanya lila haila yekichuli kana. Then he says to the readers, it is because I have offered my prayers unto the lotus feet of all of you that whatever I have written about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been possible. So in the earlier verse, in the list of people to whom he felt indebted for their mercy, which allowed him to write, and I mentioned it, the readers of the book. And how did they help him? Because he prayed to them for their mercy before he began to write. Text 102. Now let me repeat all the pastimes of the Anti Lila, for if I do so, I shall taste the pastimes again. The first chapter describes how Rupa Goswami met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the second time, and how the Lord heard his two dramas. What are his two dramas? That's Tamal Krishna Goswami's drama. You're always thinking of Tamal Krishna Goswami. My dear devotees. Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava. That chapter also describes the incident of Shivananda Sen's dog, who was induced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to chant the holy name of Krishna and was thus liberated. If you know the story of Srila Shivananda Sen's dog, raise your hand. Okay, I'm not going to ask you to tell it because we don't have time. I just wanted to know who thought they knew it and who didn't. In the second chapter, the Lord instructively punished Junior Haridas. Also in that chapter is the wonderful vision of Shivananda Sen. In the third chapter is a description of the forceful glories of Haridas Thakur. That chapter also mentions how Damodar Pandit spoke words of criticism to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's very tempting to describe all of these pastimes. The third chapter also tells how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered everyone by bestowing upon the universe the holy name of the Lord. And it describes how Haridas Thakur established the glories of the holy name by his practical example. The fourth chapter describes Sanatan Goswami's second visit with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how the Lord saved him from committing suicide. Well, I will mention this because this question of suicide is, I suppose, current at all times. It is current now as well. But Srila Sanatana Goswami was suffering from a disease that caused his body to ooze a very foul liquid. And when he would come close to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would forcibly grab him and embrace him. And that foul liquid would come on the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this created such a pain in the heart of Sanatana Goswami that he wanted to give up his life. And he thought that at the time of the Rath Yatra, he'll throw himself under the wheels of the chariot and give up his life. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the omniscient Lord, could understand the idea of Srila Sanatana Goswami. And one day he said to him, "Is it proper to destroy another person's property?" So who can say what is the relationship between that question and Srila Sanatana Goswami's idea of giving up his body in the Rath Yatra? Yes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, "Is it proper to destroy another person's property?" And he said, "Your body is my property. Because I am here in Jagannath Puri due to my promise to my mother, there are many things that I cannot do. And I intend to do them through your body. So how can you destroy it? And he said, and specifically, I want to do things in Vrindavan through your body. And then he said, if I could attain Krishna by giving up my body, I would give up thousands and millions of bodies. But one cannot attain Krishna by that means. One can attain Krishna only by pure devotional service. And Mahaprabhu quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam in which Rukmini Devi says that she would be willing to give up her body if by doing so she could attain Krishna. But that is not the method. One can attain Krishna only by pure devotional service. So Mahaprabhu stopped Srila Sanatana Goswami from his plan, and he also explained that the body of a pure devotee is not material. He quoted the verse Dikshakali that at the time of initiation, when the devotee surrenders to Krishna, Krishna accepts him to be as good as himself. He's on the same level of spiritual existence. So this is a very important instruction. And Haridas Thakur was also present. Haridas Thakur was very close friends with Srila Sanatana Goswami, and afterwards he praised Srila Sanatana Goswami's good fortune that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has accepted your body as his property. And he wants to fulfill his mission through your body. And that too, especially in Vrindavan. So who can estimate your good fortune? Text 109. The fourth chapter also tells how Sanatana Goswami was tested in the sunshine of Jaista, May and June, and was then empowered and sent back to Vrindavan. So this is a continuation of the previous discussion, that because Sanatana Goswami felt himself very low and contaminated, he would not walk on the regular paths when he would come to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he didn't want to contaminate people by walking on the same path. So he would walk along the sea side on the beach, and anyone who has walked barefoot on the sand, the hot sand, knows that it really burns. And so he would walk on the burning sand, and his feet would blister. But he was so fixed on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he didn't even notice it. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him and inquired and heard the answer, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, embraced him, and his itching sores went away. And then, in this case, he empowered him and sent him back to Vrindavan. In the fifth chapter, the Lord showed his favor to Pradyumna Mishra and made him hear topics of Krishna from Ramananda Rai. This is also very instructive. Pradyumna Mishra was a Brahmin. And he had some pride in being born as a Brahmin and being learned in scripture. So he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to hear about Krishna from him. And of course, Mahaprabhu was also born in a Brahmin family, and he was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "I don't know anything about Shastra. I don't know anything about Rasa. You should hear from Ramananda Rai." And Ramananda Rai was considered like a Sudra because he was in government service. And in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught him to be humble, because you can't really hear Krishna Katha properly unless you're humble. And so he taught him that he has to be humble and not think that he'll just hear from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He also should hear from the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even if they're considered to be in lower castes. Text 111. Also in that chapter, Swarup Damodar Goswami rejected the drama of a poet from Bengal and established the glories of the deity. The sixth chapter describes how Raghunath Das Goswami met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and performed the chipped rice festival in accordance with Nityananda Prabhu's order. The Lord entrusted Raghunath Das Goswami to the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami and gave Raghunath Das the gift of a stone from Govardhan Hill and a garland of small conch shells. The seventh chapter tells how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Vallabha Bhatta and dismantled his false pride in various ways. The eighth chapter describes the arrival of Ramachandra Puri and how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu minimized his eating due to fear of him. In the ninth chapter is a description of how Gopinath Patanayaka was delivered and how the people of the three worlds were able to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the 10th chapter, I have described how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tasted the food given by his devotees. And I have also described the assortments in the bags of Raghava Pandit, means the assortments of food. Also in that chapter is a description of how the Lord examined Govinda and how he danced in the temple. Now, the story of how the Lord examined Govinda is also instructive. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of his personal servants was Govinda. And it was the regular practice that after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had lunch, he would lie down and Govinda would massage his legs. So one day after lunch, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lay down. But on that occasion, he happened to lie down across the doorway to the room. And therefore, to get to Mahaprabhu's feet to give his massage, Govinda had to step over Mahaprabhu's body, which is generally against the etiquette. It's an offense. But he did it for the sake of service. So after Mahaprabhu's nap, When he saw Govinda, he said, "Oh, Govinda, you're here. Have you taken prasad? Have you had your own lunch? And Govinda replied, no, Lord, because you were lying in the doorway, so I couldn't step over your body, and so I just remained here. And then Mahaprabhu said, well, how did you get into the room to massage my feet? And Govinda didn't actually reply, because, there could be various reasons, but he didn't actually reply. But within his mind, he knew the reason, that that was for your service. I could step over your body for your service, but not for my sense gratification. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with his service. And that's also an instruction for us, that sometimes we may have to disregard a lesser rule for the sake of a greater service. But we shouldn't neglect a rule just for our sense gratification. But we may, for the sake of Mahaprabhu's service. The 11th chapter describes the disappearance of Haridas Thakur and how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, showed his affection for his devotees. In the 12th chapter are descriptions of how Jagadananda Pandit broke a pot of oil and how Lord Nityananda chastised Shivananda Sen. In the 13th chapter, Jagadananda Pandit went to Mathura and returned. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chance heard a song sung by a Devadasi dancing girl. Also in the 13th chapter, Raghunath Bhatta met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who by his causeless mercy sent him to Vrindavan. The 14th chapter describes the beginning of the Lord's spiritual trance, in which his body was at Jagannath Puri, but his mind was in Vrindavan. Also in that chapter is a description of how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell down in front of the Singhadwara gate of Jagannath Temple. His bones separated at the joints, and how various transcendental symptoms awakened. Also in that chapter, there is a description of how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ran toward Chatak Parvat and spoke like a madman. In the 15th chapter is a description of how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered a garden on the shore of the sea, mistaking the garden for Vrindavan. Also in that chapter is a description of the attraction of Lord Chaitanya's five senses to Krishna and how he searched for Krishna in the rasa dance. The 16th chapter tells how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his mercy to Kalidas and thus demonstrated the result of eating the remnants of the food of Vaishnavas. It also described how Shivananda's son composed a verse and how the doorkeeper of the Singhadwara showed Krishna to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Also in that chapter, the glories of Mahaprasad are explained. And a verse is tasted, describing the effect of nectar from the lips of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu commented on the Mahaprasada of Lord Jagannath, that the preparations are made of the common ingredients, dal, rice, ghee, spices, but it tastes completely different. And what is the reason? And then he explains that the Mahaprasada of Lord Jagannath is mixed with the Adar Amrita, that means the nectar from the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Lord Jagannath. I mean, we, in ordinary terms, we would say saliva, but the the Lord's saliva is actually nectar, and that nectar mixes with the food as Mahaprasad. Of course, the gopis also want to taste the nectar of Krishna's lips. Text 131. In the 17th chapter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell among the cows and assumed the form of a tortoise as his ecstatic emotions awakened. Also in the 17th chapter, the attributes of Krishna's sound attracted the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who danced, who described in ecstasy the meaning of the Kashtri Angate verse. Due to the conjunction of various ecstatic symptoms, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again began speaking like a madman and described in detail the meaning of a verse from Krishna Karnamrita. We're almost at the end here. In the 18th chapter, the Lord fell into the ocean, and in ecstasy he saw the pastimes of the water fight between Krishna and the gopis. In that dream, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Krishna's picnic in the forest. As the Lord floated in the sea, a fisherman caught him, and then the Lord returned to his own residence. In the 19th chapter is a description of how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rubbed his face against the walls and spoke like a madman because of separation from Krishna. That chapter also describes Krishna's wandering in a garden on a spring night, and it fully describes the meaning of a verse about the scent of Krishna's body. Earlier we read how all of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's senses, transcendental senses, were attracted to Krishna. So here, he's discussing the Adar Amrita, the nectar from Krishna's lips. That's the sense of taste. And then in the next chapter, he just described elaborately the fragrance from Krishna's body, which is the sense of smell. Every one of his senses was enlivened by contact with Krishna in ecstatic love. In the 20th chapter, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited his own 8 stanzas of instruction and tasted their meaning in ecstatic love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu composed those 8 stanzas to instruct the devotees, but he also personally tasted their meaning. I have thus described the principal pastimes and their meaning, for by such repetition one can remember the descriptions in the book. In every chapter there are various topics, but I have selected only those that are principal. for not all of them could be described again. The Vrindavan deities of Madan Mohan with Srimati Radharani, Govinda with Srimati Radharani, and Gopinath with Srimati Radharani are the life and soul of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Text 144 to 146. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sri Yuta Nityananda Sri Advaita Acharya Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Sri Rupa Sri Swarupa Sri Rupa Sri Sanatana Sri Guru Sri Raghunatha Sri Jiva Charana Nija Sire Dari E Sabara Charana Yaha hai te haya sabha vanchita purana. Translation. So that my desires may be fulfilled, I place the lotus feet of these personalities on my head. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya and their devotees, as well as Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, who is my spiritual master, and Srila Jiva Goswami. Purport. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was the instructing spiritual master of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, and has therefore been described as Sri Guru. Text 147. Sabara Charana Kripa Guru Upadhyayi Maravani Shishyatare Bahuta Nachayi. By the mercy of their lotus feet is my spiritual master, and my words are my disciples that I have made dance in various ways. So he's describing a very interesting parampara. He's saying that the mercy of the lotus feet of his spiritual of his superiors is his spiritual master. In other words, the mercy of all the personalities that he mentioned, their mercy is his guru. And his words are his disciples. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's words are his disciples. So the mercy he received, which is his guru, was transmitted through him to his disciples, namely his words. In other words, anyway, you understand. So, the mercy of their lotus feet is my spiritual master, and my words are my disciples that I have made dance in various ways. Purport. Upadhyayi, or Upadhyaya, refers to one who teaches when approached. Upetya adiyati asmat. In the Manu Samhita it is said, ekadesham tu vedasya vedanganyapi vapuna yodhyaya payati vrityartham upadhyaya sa uchate. One who teaches others a part of the Vedas or literature supplementary to the Vedas may be called Upadhyaya. Upadhyaya also refers to one who teaches art. Text 148. seeing the fatigue of my disciples, who are his disciples? His words. Seeing the fatigue of the disciples, the spiritual master has stopped making them dance. And because that mercy no longer makes them dance, my words now sit silently. This is how he's explaining the conclusion of his writing of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. My inexperienced words do not know how to dance by themselves. The mercy of the Guru made them dance as much as possible. And now, after dancing, they have taken rest. And again, continuing in his ecstatic, humble mood, I now worship the lotus feet of all my readers, for by their mercy, for by the mercy of their lotus feet, there is all good fortune. If one hears the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, I wash his lotus feet and drink the water. In other words, being a reader of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is not an ordinary thing. And Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in his humility and eagerness that people should taste the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, says that he worships the reader of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and washes his feet with water and drinks the water. So we should read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shotara, text 152, Shotara Padarenu Karon Mastaka Bhushana Tomara e mata pile safala haila shrama. I decorate my head with the dust of the lotus feet of my audience. Now you all have drunk this nectar, and therefore my labor is successful. Sri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Yara Asha Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Dasa. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Text 154. Charitam amritam etach charila chaitanya vishno subhadam asubhanasi shadaya savayadaya tadamala padapadme bringam etad etesoyam rasayati rasam uchai prema madvika puram. Chaitanya Charitamrita is filled with the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. It invokes all good fortune and destroys everything inauspicious. If one tastes the nectar of Chaitanya Charitamrita with faith and love, I become like a bumblebee tasting the honey of transcendental love from his lotus feet. Text 155. Sriman Madana Gopal Govinda Deva Tushtaye Chaitanyarpitam Asvetach Chaitanya Charitamritam. Since this book, Chaitanya Charitamrita, is now complete, having been written for the satisfaction of the most opulent deities, Madan Mohanji and Govindaji, let it be offered to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Dev. Parimala Vasita Bhuvanam Svaro Sanmadita Rasagyaralambam Giridhari Charam Bojam Kakalo Rasika Samita Hatum. Realized devotees are like bumblebees maddened by their own mellows at Krishna's lotus feet. The scent of those lotus feet perfumes the entire world. Who is the realized soul that could give them up? And now the last verse of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shake snigdvagni vandeno jaiste vrindavanantare surya he sita pancham yam granto yam purnatam gata. In Vrindavan, in the year 1537, Sakabda era, in the month of Jaista, May-June, on Sunday, the fifth day of the waning moon, this Chaitanya Charitamrita has been completed. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, 20th chapter, describing the meaning of Shikshastaka and how the Lord tasted it himself. End of the Antya Lila. So this concluding verse of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita records the date on which Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami completed the work. It was Sunday, the fifth day of the waning moon in the month of Jaista. And Srila Prabhupada's concluding words, which I'll read and discuss tonight, begin in the same way. Today, Sunday, November 10th, 1974, corresponding to the 10th of Kartik, Chaitanya era 488, the 11th day of the dark fortnight, the Rama Ekadasi. We have now finished the English translation of Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in accordance with the authorized order of His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj, my beloved eternal spiritual master, guide, and friend. And the very end. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, dated November 10th, 1974, at the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, Hare Krishna Land, Juhu, Bombay. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Any questions or comments?
It said the Chaitanya Lila, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is postgraduate level of understanding. And people like myself are very anxious to indulge in that. But my mind sometimes is, I don't think is able to comprehend the extents of it. So how do we justify reading it when we may not have the knowledge to or the appreciation to understand it?
That is a good question. I mean, the general progression in reading is Ishopanishad, then the Bhagavad Gita, then the Nectar of Devotion, then Srimad Bhagavatam, and then Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. What books have you read?
I've read Nectar Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and even though I've read the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita, I didn't understand the whole thing, and I felt that I rushed it. So.
Yes. Well, one should not read just... I mean, there is a value to read through it to get a sense of what's there. But ultimately, we should read it very carefully so that we really consider what each word means. And if we don't understand it, we should be conscious that we don't understand it. And we can even make a note that I don't understand this, and ask someone to explain it. Because, as we mentioned, these books are not just words on a page. They're actually Krishna, they're manifestations of Krishna. So we don't want to gloss over any of it. We want to try to appreciate each and every word to our capacity. And there's nectar in all of the books. So we shouldn't think, oh, well, I'll quickly skip, you know, quickly finish with the other ones and get to the real nectar, which is Chaitanya Charitamrita. They're all nectar. And if we don't appreciate them all as nectar, it means there's some deficiency in us. That said, I would not forbid you to read Chaitanya Charitamrita if you get a benefit from it, then it's good that you read it. And the idea that Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study is true, but within the Chaitanya Charitamrita there are many different levels of subjects. But generally they do tend to be advanced. But yeah, I would say that you can read it, but you'll be able to appreciate it more and understand it better if you're well grounded in the other texts that we recommend before coming to Chaitanya Charitamrita. But when Srila Prabhupada was first beginning the movement in New York City in 1966, he read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, but selected portions of Chaitanya Charitamrita that were appropriate for his audience.
Thank you.
Yes?
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for your wonderful speech and reading. We hear many times from the glories of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda that they are delivering even the most sinful people like Jagai and Madai. I'm always wondering that how does that apply on myself, or like, you know, souls are not really getting pure souls, or just trying as much as we could, or may fall down, or have so many mistakes and so many falling down from having the vows, or so many different things. Are they still gonna save us or liberate us like what we hear in the stories, or what would be your comment on that?
Lord Chaitanya's and Lord Nityananda's mercy are available to us, but we have to receive it. And there's a way by which we can receive it. And that way does not mean that we have to be perfect in our execution of devotional service, but it does mean that we have to be faithful in a certain way, which is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 20, Verses 27 and 28. It begins, Jata Shraddha Matkatasu. This verse is spoken by Lord Krishna. Jata Shraddha Matkatasu means having awakened faith in my pastimes, being disgusted with material life, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but being unable to give up sense gratification completely. One should continue to serve me with great faith and devotion in a happy mood. And one should repent for one's failings and continue in devotional service. And our acharyas say that this is the beginning of pure devotional service. So Jata Shraddha Matkatado, that one, having awakened faith in the narrations of Krishna, that is shown by our continually hearing the narrations of Krishna. Because by hearing the narrations of Krishna, we come to know of Krishna's mercy. And we become attracted to Krishna's mercy. And knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but unable to give it up, one should continue with firm faith. And this is the real crux of it, that we should not become discouraged by our failings, but hearing of Krishna's mercy from narrations of his pastimes, we should expect that one day we will get his mercy. And therefore, we should continue in a happy mood. I mean, it seems contradictory that the devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to suffering, but still he cannot give it up. So he should continue in a happy mood. So how can he be in a happy mood if he knows that he's going to suffer? But he can be in a happy mood because of his faith in Krishna's mercy. That ultimately Krishna's mercy will prevail and the suffering will only be temporary. So this is part of the qualification of Darya, which is mentioned by Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrita. Utsaha nischaya Darya. So utsaha means enthusiasm, and nischaya means confidence, and Darya means patience. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a series of essays on the two verses from the Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita, the six items favorable for devotional service and the six items that are harmful to devotional service. And he has an essay on each of the six. And under Darya, patience, he says that that unless one has Darya or patience, he cannot do any work. And this series of essays is meant for practicing devotees, for sadhakas. So he can't do any work. It doesn't mean he can't go to the office, you know. He might get stuck in traffic and he might be impatient, but he can still go to work. But here, when he says that if one is lacking in the quality of Darya, he cannot do any work, means he cannot do any internal work. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that a devotee might think after some time, I've been trying and I'm still not getting the result, so let me just give up. And the verse I quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam says that the devotee's mood should be that I will not give up the service of Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says Darya means that the devotee has faith that one day Krishna will give me his mercy. Because only by Krishna's mercy will I be able to overcome my weaknesses. So he has faith that one day Krishna will give me his mercy. It may be in 1 year, or 10 years, or 100 years, or in a future lifetime. But I will never stop serving Krishna. In the purport to the same verse, we come across to the same point that I'll never give up serving Krishna. So that is required. And at the same time, go on hearing. And by that hearing, you know, develop faith and attraction to Krishna. But one also has to work, you know. Maybe you should read that book by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But within that book, in three different places, he quotes the verse from the 11th canto, because it's so important. so important. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Balaram Prasad Prabhu. Well, to get the mercy to be successful, you have to beg for it. You have to be humble. Just from reading the last verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we could see how humble Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami was. He was really in the mood of a beggar, begging for mercy from everywhere, even from his readers. So, and being a beggar means we're humble, we're prideless. We realize that we cannot do anything on our own, that we need mercy. And that is the way we will get mercy. Otherwise, if we're proud and we think, oh, I can do it myself. There's so many verses that explain what pleases Krishna. And the only thing that pleases Krishna is unalloyed devotion. There's a verse by Prahlad Maharaj that Krishna is not pleased by, and other similar verses. Krishna is not pleased if we follow all the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma, if we follow Vaishnava etiquette. I mean, things that, you know, are learned in scripture or intelligent or can give good discourses or anything. It's only by unalloyed devotion. And we don't have that. So we need to beg for that. And everything else that we think we can do, like learning how to play musical instruments, whatever it is, you know, learning to memorize verses, whatever it is that we think we can do to improve our devotional service, that's okay. But that is not what will please Krishna. The only thing that will please Krishna is unalloyed devotion. And that we don't have. And so we have to beg for that. On our own, yeah, we can learn to play harmonium, we can memorize verses, we can, whatever it is. But the one thing that will please Krishna is, you know, unflinching, unalloyed devotion. And that we don't have. So we have to beg for that. And when we're really in that mood that we're bankrupt, you know, then we can get mercy. But if we think, you know, I have something, I mean, I'm not doing that bad. Actually, I'm doing pretty good. In fact, I'm doing quite good. In fact, people should see how good I'm doing, actually. Then we won't get anything. All right.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you very much. So we'll meet in the evening, those who are able. Hare Krishna.
Shri Maharaj, Swami Maharaj, Kijai!